Coming at you live from the orbital Theakston's moon base, it's Starman and the Zoomer.
Hello? Are all the little people still inside this computer? Sorry, we haven't talked to you in a while.
Hello,
We've been very busy.
We've been very busy and not had time to talk to all the little people inside our computer.
We've also been building, as you say, our orbital Theakston's moon base.
We have, yes. You will see the results of the orbital Theakston's moon base at some point.
Yes, where you'll be blasted at the sky with a red-hot beam of refreshing mild?
Yes, a multi ray of refreshingness. Heblo people. Heblo party people in the place to be.
Yes.
We're back. And the weather's been, well...
Changeable.
While we've been away.
Oh, to be fair, I think the first couple of weeks we were away, the weather was cracking. I actually ended
glorious.
Up with a tan. It was
a
great.
Tan, yes. Oh, amazing.
And then it was kind of meh. And then we saw a good friend of ours, and it kind of went a bit meh again. And now it's, I don't know, it's a nice evening. Finally.
It is a good evening, yes.
But it's also very windy.
Yeah, it's been changeable here. So those of you who tune in for the weather reports, it's been all over the place. It's been all four seasons.
Changeable. I just want to say, seeing as he sent it in straight away as well, and he's one of the few people that does it, Mr. Lamented Guide has sent us a little $20 super sticker there.
Yes.
And if you, like him, wish to be very generous and support the wide plethora of things that we are attempting to do on the internet,
yes,
you can do so by becoming a member of the channel, or giving a donation, or becoming a paid subscriber to the Substack.
Yeah, same for the Substack, still there.
If you don't want to get robbed tax-wise, you can also, or let us get robbed tax-wise, you can also give off a donation to the Ko-Fi, which I believe is
the pinned message,
So
we get all the shilling out of the way nice and early.
Chill.
That is the shilling there, done. But I'll go back to a little thumbnail here, because, oh boy, well, we said it would happen, but I don't think even I was quite prepared for, because we were talking to Pat in My Hat earlier about how cartoonish the whole thing has become. In that, boy of the summer riots in quotes from memory now.
Pause the stream. I'm going to make myself a drink. Sorry, guys.
Sorry, we gotta start for a sec.
Yeah.
Anyway. Sorry. The post-woke world is here. The legs have not only been cut off. We're not even going to talk about.
You best believe
the court,
in a post-war world.
We're not even going to talk.
Because you're living in one.
Starmer has said, trans women aren't women, and they're all going back. And then he dabbed, and that's been the news cycle.
Something I'm sent back to Scotland.
Oh no, she's going to be deported to the Haggis Lands.
Give a kilt and a hat on me and walk me through the street. Shame!
We told you they could just stop doing it.
Yeah.
But we also told you it wouldn't make any material difference.
Oh, we'll get to the latter part. But I think that, like, fundamentally, this is both, like, possibly one of the most amazing moments in politics, and also the most boring at the exact same time.
Because
we have to the T between ourselves and a couple of other folk that follow along with our lines of thinking. I basically told you this was all going to happen.
We performed a magic trick from some people's point of view. But from our point of view, all we did was read news stories that were in The Guardian in 2022.
And now because we know of this, we now sit here going, well, oh, we've already read the script. I know the spoilers that are coming.
It does feel... Well, we have read... Effectively, we've read ahead. Oh, God, I just completely killed one of our links, I think.
You're going to maybe do an emergency undo there?
I'm going to do an emergency undo there, because I could have been dicking around here. But no, I'll get our lower third out, because the most amazing moment was like this.
You might want to shift that down on the tab that's open itself.
No, it's fine. It's echoes apart. It is the National Scots.
Oh, no, I was just talking about the black border of the bomb.
Oh,
I don't know if that's the screen cap or it's just the actual the window you have open.
It's the window I have open.
Right, fair enough.
It's fine. It doesn't really matter.
But yes, Keir Starmer, Queer Starmer, two-tier Keir, but he's also Enoch Powell.
Yeah.
So he's like gonna lose and be mocked vociferously because of Southport, but also
You know, when
we've done what everyone wants him to do?
You know when we told people that this is the National Scot, by the way, a very kind of independent, it's an SNP newspaper.
Boy.
But we also have here The Times repeating the same thing about Enoch Powell. Echoes of Enoch Powell drown out Labour's migrant message. For those who've been living under a rock, what happened is Keir Starmer came out and performed the speech in that's become known as the Island of Strangers speech. And he's gone from being, you know, the butcher of Southport to Enoch Powell incarnate. And I think this proves pretty definitively our point that people will sell you figures from the left to the right. This is Keir Starmer not being mocked or pilloried.
This is
Powell. Powell has always been popular. You must keep this in your mind that Enoch Powell has never been unpopular in Britain among the British population. They are not comparing Keir Starmer here to Enoch Powell to denigrate him. They're doing it to boost him.
Yeah, I mean, can we look at the Times one quickly? I'm not going to sit there and read through loads of it, but I just we'll get look the first the paragraph or so just to get an understanding of the tone here.
What?
Because why would the Times even attempt to speak in a mildly positive tone about a Labour Prime Minister?
The Prime Minister has coined a punchy three-word slogan on migrants, but no more. From his Home Secretary down, seems particularly, but no one seems particularly happy with it.
But Angela Rayner changed her tune about a week ago, didn't she? Yvette Cooper was doing an incredible job of concealing the fact that this is one of the best mornings of her life. The new, tough-talking, mean-sounding immigration policy that had intrigued absolutely everyone who's never going to vote Labour and horrified everyone who did, had all been her idea. But this isn't true.
But this is marketing.
Yeah.
Look at it. Intrigued absolutely everyone who's not going to... This is... Look at that line. Look at that. Which PR agent for Keir Starmer came up with that one?
Yeah.
Keir Starmer has intrigued everyone who's never going to vote. You thought you'd never vote Labour. Yeah.
Its adoption by Keir Starmer, in complete contrast to absolutely everything he had to say in the subject 5 years ago, it's her triumph. He's done an inverse Obama.
Yeah.
Her morning tour around the TV and radio studios should have been her victory lap. Of course, they're holding up Yvette Cooper here for this, but we know where this has come from. This is tone.
Do we, Alex? Tone. I've not actually got any tone in here. I don't think we need to.
But he's there in spirit.
Well, he's here. All of this is spirit. Like, I want to. I don't want to be just sit here and go, this is one big told you so. But this is one giant told you so. Look at what Blair has done. This is Blair at work. You can see Blairism has won out. The initial flailing of the Labour government, in quotes, wasn't flailing. What they were doing is they were getting a bunch of unpopular stuff out of the way really quickly so they could just look at the populist 1-2 punch here.
Well, it's also like...
Trans women aren't women. They're going back.
Look at the extreme retooling they've had to do as well. I mean, I think that's a fundamental part of why this... Why some of it has confused some people so much and why to us, we've seen it coming the whole time because...
When is this from?
We looked when at is, some of the...
November 10th. 2022, UK political, specifically about digital ID. Well, we talk about the UBI. Here's tone. Here he is in spirit. Mm. We already did the tone angle on this 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
2.5 years ago.
But then they've had that framework sitting there since this article's from 2018.
Yes.
And this is what I mean. We have read all the signals. We know this was coming down the pipeline. The obstinance and the awkwardness and the confusion that's happened around it in the shorter term is really just different bits of the Labour Party that haven't got the message yet, just balking at it. I mean, that's really all it is.
Yes. It's just, again, we called it. Go and watch it if you don't believe us. We made a video that said this would happen. There was a subject about UBI being pushed by the Tories, which it still is, but the Tories are a very diminished force. But really, it's Blue Keir.
Mm.
And everybody, like I said, especially during the summer of Rupacabra, or the Chupacabra, his name is, during Southport summer, some people decided to vent their spleen at us about this not being true.
Mm.
And boy... Boy, do they look stupid. But
I wouldn't even go as far as to try and sort of grandstand on any of it. I think it's really the general sentiment that they were going to they were going to change over positions, and they demonstrated it to you for months with...
This article is more than two... Here we go.
Sad Wojak Rishi Sunak in the rain, who says he's going to stop the boats and never really does.
Again, this is from November 2022, the day 2 days before our video came out. Labour revives ID card idea to reduce regular immigration. They have been making these noises for a very long time.
Mm.
It's as cartoonish as it is right now to cut through the mix. They have been building up the political background music for years and years and years.
I've just noticed something, though.
What?
And I bet they didn't have this opposition planned for.
What?
John McDonnell calls for grassroots leadership challenge to Starmer government.
Oh!
So, let's take John McDonnell, who is hated.
Yeah?
I mean,
look at him.
He is a hated man.
The pink face.
They could not paint him as anything more of a soppy, disgusting
The rainbow
leftist,
castle. Look at it. Look at the stinky leftist
who,
compared to strong deporter
Who is going to be the person, and I think this is one part of it as well that I like to consider, who's going to be the opposition for Starmer on this?
Yes.
It's not going to be the Tory party. It's not really going to be Nigel, except from when Nigel says we need more NHS workers or whatever. No, Starmer's opposition is going to be the extreme left in his own party, who have already been whipped and told what to do.
Yeah.
He's going to end up having a policy conversation about how we deal with deportation between the centre-left and the far-left, when it was something people in the far right advocated for decades. And they're now going to play no part in that conversation because it's going to happen between Keir Starmer and John McDonnell.
Yes. Well, I'll go back to the echoes of power screen here, but the problem is that no one had set the parameters of the immigration debate because no one but us expected the Labour Party not only to take part in the debate, but completely subsume the discussion around being pro-deportations. No one stopped to ask, what does sending them back actually look like? Within this framing, Keir Starmer will, in quotes, send them back, because all he needs to do is deport one more migrant and deny one more visa than the previous government, something which he has already done. This sort of thing can be achieved by inaction. Not extending Boris Wade's visas, for example, could put millions, at least, not under, you put under pressure yourself, the poor, but really it takes them off the national balance sheet.
Well, I'm thinking we'll go for the steel man case here, that we're assuming he is actually going to do it.
Starmer, also operating under the defence of being a managerial insider, will come up against a lot less genuine opposition than, say, a Donald Trump. Starmer and Trump will probably end up having an identical impact, proportionally, on respective immigration. For both of them, it will be a fall compared to the 2021 to 2024, but it will be another case of take 10 and give back 3. Well, first of all, we'll do a quick recap. How do we get here? The other good companion stream to this is our performative failure stream. What you have... really before all of this takes hold, and to make all this take hold, is the performative failure of the Conservative government to limit immigration.
Mm.
Both the Conservative government and Labour government have expressed extreme interest in limiting immigration, and they frame it as a problem of practical reality. Well, immigration is just a thing that happens, and we as the government are powerless against it.
Can we appreciate the thumbnail for that one? Our priorities: Bobs and the Gene.
Lots of curry.
Bloody open Bob and Deliveroo.
Yes.
But what we witnessed there was the Tory party basically got to keep even the conversation of legal immigrants completely out of the frame for nearly an extra 18 months by solely focusing on the boats.
Illegal immigration. The boats.
Mm. And it wasn't even illegal immigration. It was specifically the boats.
Well, they sectioned it off. They went, well, we're talking about immigration, but we're not talking about legal immigration. We're talking about illegal immigration. And we're talking about only people who arrive by small boats.
And we'll remember as well that off the back of that, they brought a new policy that talked about safe and lawful routes.
Yes.
Which allowed them to reappropriate a bunch of illegal immigrants and then call them legal when they got here, as long as they could argue they came on the safest route.
Yes, but we would like to also, before we go any further, recommit our appreciation of the nation of Israel.
Oh, it's been quite a long time.
Yes, the only nation that has the right to police its borders.
Is it such a long period of time that it's worth sticking up one of our old NIJ affirmations, or are those lost to time?
I'm afraid those are not lost to time, but I don't want to sit here and fiddle around.
No, that's all right.
This is a bit of an affirmations light stream, but we'll get our affirmations going proper again soon. Don't you worry, we got some affirmations for you. Boy, we get affirmations for you. But, well, the background here, let's look at the actual numbers.
Somebody's talking in chat there about somebody's article about Maloney and the fact that this will be Maloney all over again because Starmer will be sold to as a Nazi, but he won't do the job. I think there's a fundamentally important distinction there.
Yeah.
Starmer was not sold to us as a Nazi before he was elected.
No.
Nor is he there to represent the populist argument.
No.
So he's not like it's the populists or the people who follow populism are being played. It's more that someone that has no relation to their base, and however they would sort of capitalise on any political energy, it's being done completely separate from that.
Yes.
Whereas in Italy, it's about containing the right. Over here, it's we've gone past the containing the right phase, and we're just having the left do as it pleases so it can govern.
Well, this is why I said this: how Starmer defeated the right. This isn't, oh, Starmer is defeating the right. They have been long defeated. Mm. This has been long in the works. And yes, they're able to... This isn't framed in the way that Maloney's framed. This is framed as neutral and normal governance.
Well, one thing I think is quite an interesting point is that during the last few weeks that we have had all of this, what has the right-wing press been doing? Has it been holding Starmer to the fire and make sure he makes good on these promises? No. Have they been asking the question of how did deportations happen? No. Most of them have ran around talking about the fact that Macron might have had a baggie on him and Keir Starmer might be bumming rent boys. They're not actually bothering to deal with this like paradigm-shattering event that seems to have happened.
Well, it's as I said, the political landscape has moved beneath them. They were not prepared to live in the political future, and they are once again adrift. But all of this was caused, the background of this, and people, will Keir Starmer cut immigration? Well, yes, of course he will. Because over the past 4 years, ever since 2021, there has been an immigration maximalist experiment run by the Five Eyes nations. Mm. These are nations with integrated intelligence services. And again, unless you believe that immigrants spring out of the ground, the fact that...
Oh, they're all here by accident.
Yeah, the fact that five countries who have intertwined intelligence apparatus also seem to have lockstep immigration policy, where all of them have seen unprecedented peaks in raw numbers from 2022 to 2023... It's very difficult not to see this as a continuous project, because it is. I don't concede to anyone, oh, you're imagining it. This isn't related. It's like, look, net migration, 906,000 in Britain in 2023. You have a complete peak there. Look at the US population spike, and look at, basically since 1970, you have this track that everyone knows about, the visa waivers, the 800,000, maybe it's 500,000, Biden packing them in as fast as possible. America has also had its own unprecedented immigration waves to the point that it's tipped the foreign-born population to the highest point in America it has ever been. And this is you know, foreign-born. This isn't just recent immigrants. This is people who were born outside of the US. This isn't a demographic shift in terms of color, because a lot of settled people are now not also white Americans. This is purely amount of foreigners in America. And that has gone up dramatically. We've had another record years for immigration in America. Again, Australia, slightly less of a spike here because they had a really bad period, kind of 2007 through kind of 2017.
But there's a noticeable post-COVID spike.
But there's a noticeable post-COVID spike, especially when it comes to quote-unquote skill. There's a lot of debate about this. A lot of hide the ball in Australia with temporary workers. Mm. And it's higher than they're admitting, but the official figures still say that migration in 2022 was the highest it had ever been in Australian history. Here we have again. We did a whole stream about Canada. Canada ended up with 4.1% of its population having arrived in the last year, just in general. It was insane. But here is from 2023. This is from the Economic Times. Mass immigration experiment gives Canada an edge in global race for labour. Canada was very open about the fact that it was doing an immigration maximalist experiment, and that they were saying that it proved the economic argument back then. It hasn't now. Again, New Zealand. Immigration peak revised higher as fewer departed. New Zealand's immigration peak was higher than previously reported after revision showed fewer people left the country in the final months of 2023. Again, net migration climbed as high as 141,500, which New Zealand is a lot. There's not as many people in New Zealand as there are in somewhere like, is there isn't somewhere like Britain or Australia. So we have, again, 2023, New Zealand sees a high watermark in migration.
I like how they've gone so far up the wall with this, that policymakers last month softened their threat of another increase in the official cash rate because they felt the pressure around inflation were now evenly balanced. It's gotten that bad in New Zealand in some regard that they're having economists come around and go, never mind the like housing demand supply side, we fucked the money up.
Yeah, basically they're saying that immigration was so high in New Zealand that it's going to create inflation because housing demand is so high. And again, you have a situation, we've talked about this before, where the official figure is revised upwards repeatedly. We'll see this story going on with the British figure as well. But again, all Five Eyes nations in 2022 or 2023 saw an immigration max. Well, that is impossible unless there is coordination.
Yeah. If this was merely an accident, as they claim, why can't the 1.3 million people who arrived in the UK in 2023 alone simply be told to leave? If this is done in error, why can it not be corrected?
Yeah.
Because it wasn't done in error. Do not subscribe to the accidental theory of immigration. The states of five countries worked simultaneously flat out to ensure as many people as possible were entering their respective borders. Simultaneous record arrivals across five nations with a known integrated intelligence service across them. These are the only ones who issue the visas. It is insane to say that this got away from them. They were in control of the entire process.
Yeah, countries issue visas. If they are saying they're issuing more visas than they thought they were, that doesn't make any sense because they're the ones issuing the visas.
Well, that does make sense insofar as the fact that that's how your numbers get revised up.
Yes.
Because 100,000 people that came the year before are only just claiming their visa now. Well, so you end up with it. It's not me giving them the benefit of the doubt, but that goes to show this lag effect that you're talking about in the numbers.
Well, here's worked example one. Here's how the worked example of how the immigration sausage gets made, because the figures are provably bunk. The one I always go to is Brexit and EU citizens in the EU, the EU settlement scheme. There's a slightly weak Spectator article I originally used for this that is now lost to time. It seems to be gone. Mm. But Brexit and EU citizens in the UK, it's this section here. It had been thought there were around 3 million EU citizens living in the UK at the time of Brexit. Yet over 8 million EU settlement scheme applications have been made, equating to over 6 million individuals. There was twice as many EU people in Britain than were measured in terms of inflow. And these people have every right to be here. That's the whole point. They are people who can apply for the EU settlement scheme. So these aren't people who have an incentive to hide that they're here. They just simply didn't realise the bureaucracy didn't know.
Mm.
So you have this doubling up of legal immigration. And this is one of, I think, the biggest indicators that the numbers we are given are a joke. The immigration numbers here, you know, you expect 3 million people and you find 6.
Yeah, I mean, I think we could jump to the conclusion of this stream before we even get there when people ask, well, what are we supposed to do about this? Find a way to actually count the number of immigrants that are in Britain that isn't digital ID.
Yeah.
Try that. And I think that's ultimately where we're ending up with this, is that these aren't always necessarily acts of malicious intent per se. We know particularly with this incident that we've seen this pattern, and we believe there to be reason for it. But a lot of what they're doing is just they're covering their fucking arse. That is why they're having to come round and rejig the numbers and round up and do this and do that. Because on the mid-level, where you're just some like Home Office peon, you don't have a clue.
Most people don't. Most people will be shocked to find that the EU settlement scheme ended up giving amnesty to twice the amount of people it was supposed to.
Well, no, almost three times. There were 6 million applications, that applied to 8 million people.
No,
so that's
it's,
people, that's
it's
people
fine. Have, it's 8 million applications equating to over 6 million individuals.
Who will be applying possibly for family members and stuff as well.
Well, that's what we can say, is that 8 million applications equating to 6 million individuals. So that's the figures we've got. What it actually means in terms of final numbers, we still have no idea, because, again, these are estimates. But that's just a good example of, look, here's how we can prove that the immigration apparatus has no idea who's here. Mm. Because when it comes time to actually give people amnesty, twice as many people show up as you thought were there. Very, very, very striking example. Here we have another one, which is, again, that the,
2022 immigration figures being rounded, I believe these ones.
Yeah, well, this
upward
is...
Upward revisions.
This is upward revisions. 2022 net migration official figures were revised upwards from initial figures by a whopping 266,000 people from the initial estimate, and this will become important later because the immigration drop is being advertised off these initial estimates. There was a rise of 43% to the final figure. That is a number of 606,000, and then it was upgraded to 872,000. So, again, 266,000 people, 43% undercounting yeah. in terms of quote-unquote net migration for the calendar year of 2022.
Well, the excuse they have here, which I believe we might have actually read before,
yes.
the revisions result from the ONS receiving more complete travel data and adding tens of thousands of Ukrainians who had been missed in the data due to an error.
How do you
miss 50,000 people?
Well, how do you miss 266,000 people?
Well, that's just what they're saying for this one rounding error. There's the rest of the rounding errors to count into this as well.
So we end up in a situation where the migration figures for any given year take 18 months to line up to what actual reality is. And these are their own figures. Mm. These aren't figures from an independent body. There's no argument here about these figures. These are the government's own figures.
And I think we could almost argue that, like, the digital ID for border security stuff is almost a bit of a fugazi
yeah.
because the real purpose is getting this shit under handles. You know, getting actually seeing what the raw quantity of people coming in and out is and trying to understand where they are. Because I think we're well past that part of the government having half an idea where these people have gone.
Well, they've done an immigration maximalist experiment. They've created this problem deliberately. This is a problem of their own creation. Mm. And they are selling us a solution, which along the way is the security state. The security state's enlargement is the solution to the immigration wave that simultaneously took place in five nations that have an interconnected security state.
Mm.
it's just kind of an IQ test, but that's the way it is. Yeah, the third work example that I like to use is the fact that net migration is a lie. And I'll get up here because it's very, very, where's the other graph I want to use here? But it's very clear that immigration and deportation numbers are what the government says they are. Now, when you talk about net migration, again, the headline figure, and we'll use the headline figure for 2024, was over 900,000 people. It was estimated that 948,000 people came into the UK in 2024. But the net figure is then revised down to 431,000. Well, how do you figure out the outflow? Well, migration outflow is generated by two things, really. Ethnically British people who are notifying the UK government of emigration and the estimated departures from visa expiry. The first problem is that British people leaving the UK should count the other way around, as it speeds up demographic change and the percentage of British people in Britain. But it's the opposite. British people fleeing are used to hide an equal amount of foreigners coming in. What we're seeing is a constant outflow of British people as the immigrants are coming in, and this is used to mitigate the immigration. But this is a very minor problem as compared to the estimated outflow of immigrants, because this is the most insidious part of net migration. What you really have is that you have a clever trick played. When a visa expires, that person is no longer a legal immigrant and no longer counted in the population of visa holders. Whether they have left or not is rarely ascertained. This allows immigrants from years prior to effectively play double duty by cancelling out incoming immigrants when their visa expires. Whether they are confirmed to have left or not. There is no official number on illegal immigrants, so when a visa expires, that first person effectively stops existing. The Home Office takes it on faith that that person has indeed left, and they are used in the outflow figures, which obfuscate the raw arrival figures. If you apply this to the Boris wave of and the five-year kind of rate expiry, we'll talk about that, the whole five-year, 10-year visa thing. In 2026 through 2029, a lot of the Boris wave immigrants, whether they leave or not, will disappear from the balance sheet because their visas will run out. They won't leave when we know these people don't leave because the number of removals and voluntary departures is an absolute mess. Total returns from the UK is in the low tens of thousands a year. The most we can get out of it really is enforced, facilitated, independent. When it comes to actual measured returns, when it comes to the amount of people that we know are leaving or have been told to leave.
What's a provisional, an independently provisional return? Is that someone saying they might go? Well, I might have left.
That's an unconfirmed. Well, the whole point, yeah, enforced returns have declined sharply and they've never come back. The thing is, what they're talking about is that if you have a threefold rise in enforced returns, all you'll have is things back to a 2012 level.
Yes.
And that what we've really seen is that effectively immigration enforcement doesn't happen. The low numbers of removals would suggest that enforcement is non-existent. Not almost non-existent, but non-existent. Migration forced returns are very rare and details about them are deliberately scant.
Wait, can you scroll upwards for a second?
Yeah.
Let's just look at the line here.
Yeah.
Independent returns are...
I don't know what's happened there. There we go.
Independent returns are known as other verified returns in the Home Office data. Data for the last 8 quarters of independent returns are provisional, indicated by the dotted line, because it is typically undercounted initially and then revised upwards. Data excludes those who have departed after being refused entry at ports.
Yeah.
I find that quite curious. I think they would actually tack those folk on at the end, but then maybe they allow France to use that as a deportation number instead. But it goes to show, by their own admittance,
yes,
that the numbers they'd be showing you for 2023, 2024 still aren't really revised into a shape where they can be honest.
I wanted to read this bit. This bit's just very, very telling. It's just called Gaps and Limitations here.
I'll read it for that if you want.
Probably, yeah.
Much information about returns is not included in the published...
Sorry, I'm trying to get it actually on screen here for people. There we go, sorry.
In the published Home Office statistics, the data on the reason for return is limited to information on whether the person previously made an asylum claim and whether a person was a foreign national offender. There is no information regarding the immigration history of returnees, and so no counts of how many of those returned are unauthorised entrants, refused asylum applicants, visa overstayers, or those who otherwise breached the conditions of the permission to stay in the UK. Because if they did count those, they would have to admit every year that these were these extra hundreds of thousands of people have been hiding all along.
Yes.
There is also no information on how long visa overstayers had been in the UK without permission before their departure, presuming they haven't assumed a departure already.
Yes.
Which means, in theory, they could actually use this double count.
Yes, they could.
This means we do not know the extent to which independent returns of people who leave voluntarily without intervention from immigration authorities comprise people who lived and worked irregularly in the UK for a substantial period as opposed to those who overstayed their visa for only a few days. There's another cop-out. They could rejig the immigration system so that people are forced to be intervened by the authorities, meaning they can argue all the voluntary deportations are as a consequence of new policy.
Yes, they can do. There's all kinds of tricks they can use.
As opposed to those who overstayed their visa for only a few days. Relatively little is known about the personal or demographic characteristics of those returned beyond their age, sex and nationality. Age, sex and specific nationality breakdowns are not provided for the returns of asylum seekers and for FNOs.
Thank you to the £3 frozen. Yes, we are still getting UBI on a long enough timeline.
Only nationality breakdowns are provided, nor are data regularly published on how long returnees have lived in the UK, where they lived, whether they settled residents, or whether they were labour, student or family migrants. Finally, the published data refer only to enforced returns and do not break this down into people removed via deportation, such as due to criminal conviction, and those removed under other administrative or illegal entry powers that have declined to leave voluntarily.
Basically, the Home Office doesn't tell you anything.
And in doing so, they've given Starmer and his cronies the perfect opportunity to rejig how all the maths for this works, rejig the status of the Boris Wave people by taking away the 5-year permanent citizenship rule and making it 10 years that you've got to be here now, or a definite right to remain, or whatever you would call it.
Yes.
So it's going to allow them to rejig the numbers and turn around and say they're deporting hundreds of thousands of people every year when nothing's changed. If anything, it might get worse.
Yeah, well, what does this lead us to? Well, it leads us to the current example here, which is Keir Starmer's immigration reduction in reality. We'll start as we mean to go on, which is, again...
Yeah, it's the next link over, isn't it?
Yes. 2024 sees record numerical fall in net migration to UK. So what we're seeing reported, and what we told you this would happen, is that they've run an immigration maximalist experiment. The number of people has tripled, and now... the record rise has met a record fall, but the record fall is still, here we go, the raw number. In the year ending December 2024, an estimated 948,000 people, record drop in net migration, 948,000 people.
Came to the UK to live for 12 months or more. This is a drop from the previous year when immigration was estimated at 1.326 million.
Yes.
That's... the revised number.
Yes, it is.
So what they get to do here is play a little game of let's use the pre-revised numbers on the headline.
Oh, yeah, well, I'll get to that later. Yes. But... yes. Well, we'll get people to agree. This is then sold in terms of net migration. So here we have it. We have the number that's 948,000 people down from 1.326 million people. It's still nearly a million people coming in. What's reported? Net migration halved in 2024 to 431,000, ONS says. This is how net migration and the lie of net migration, because, again, the supposed 500,000 people that are mitigating this didn't actually leave the UK.
No.
Their visas ran out, and we have no idea where they are.
Or it's a worst-case scenario.
Yeah.
Those numbers are so nice looking on the face of it because maybe post-COVID we have had an extended wave of British citizens, natives, leaving for the Middle East, for the Far East, whatever.
That as well, but that number's in the low hundreds. That number's usually about 150,000.
But what I'm suggesting is because they don't really take into account the demographics of the people leaving in the numbers, you don't get to see raw information of who's coming in and what numbers and who's going out.
The immigration rate is, I could look into that. The immigration rate is increasing, but it isn't the bulk of the figures. The bulk of the figures is supposedly people's visas are running out.
No.
There is the granular detail. I don't want to go into it because you end up talking about figures forever. But you can get those figures. They're in the hundreds of thousands every year. Low hundred thousands, but they're still alarming. But the outflow is not as fast as some people seem to be making it out.
Hmm.
That is measurable too. You can get hold of that. I just didn't want to get into an emigration statistics debate here. But net migration halved, so it's 900,000 people, but 400,000 net because they're saying 500,000 people left, but 500,000 visas expired.
Yes,
there are now 500,000
provisionally leaving.
Yes, they are provisionally leaving. They have provisionally left. So this is how 900,000 people turns into 400,000 people in the conversation.
Yeah,
straight away.
When that number will probably revised up again over a million.
Oh yes, well over a million. And again, PM promises migration drop as he unveils plan for tightened visa rules. Well, what are the actual promises here? We've been told he did not set a precise target, but the Home Office estimated the policies could lead to 100,000 drop in immigration per year by 2029. I assume that means that there'll be a drop from the current figures. There's been no clarity on that, so I've assumed the most generous here. But again, the revision upwards is really what gets us here. In reality, net migration will still be higher than any year before 2021. Again, yes. We can safely assume that the 2024 immigration figures will be revised up. Again, the 2022 figures went up by 43% since this stage when, since this stage when they were released last time. So we are at the kind of the 43% undercounted rise if we go by the 2022 figure stage here.
I was going to say, I think this is about time to get your graph up so people can see the numbers across the
time. So we have unrevised figures. The real drop in immigration will only become apparent 18 months in the future. Then we will have comparative figures. Again, I've kind of created my own little graph here, but this really, if you go by the there's a BBC graph here, but I've redone it because it's not focused on the right thing. Here, you see that blue line there? This is post record dropping. Migration has halved, but it's here. Here we are at nearly 1 million people coming in.
And here's these provisional figures as well.
Yes, the provisional figures. But even if we take the provisional figures and extrapolate out 100,000 fall in net migration, and I'll project that it's never one for one, but I'll project that as to 100,000 fall on gross migration, that's still about 800,000 people a year arriving, and that's at the end of an ambitious immigration control project. As you can see here, what's happening is that Keir Starmer's immigration project, even if he delivers on every single one of his promises to the letter, is only codifying immigration at the pre-COVID peak. It is still codifying immigration with the figures are going to be revised upwards. They always are. So it's codifying immigration at a higher level than any point before 2021. Yes. We are sold a halving of immigration, and immigration is still far higher than it ever was at any point before 2021.
And because of the fiddle of the numbers, as you say, this will allow them to retool the immigration system for a new normal of 300,000 net a year, which possibly means in excess of 800,000 arrivals a year.
Yes.
And to narratively put the issue to bed, they can turn around and say net immigration is now a third of what it was under the Tories.
Yes.
This will be immigration higher than any period before 2021. Yep. You know, as you say, it's a new normal in the terms of the fact that it's 90% of what it was then, really, in raw numbers. So there is infinite opportunities here with the Boris wave visas, with the other bits and whatever else is going on here, to completely massage these figures to get whatever result they want.
The green line is the entries per year post this extremely ambitious, in quotes, immigration plan. This is the trick being sold. I don't think anyone has shown this properly. Like, these will be the levels. These are the projected levels of new normal migration, and they are codifying anything almost twice in by certain metrics of what Blair did.
Do you know what we're actually going to have here? We're going to have a point whereby an effort to have a big deportations program and immigration reform and blah blah blah, and we'll still be at a level higher than the furore we had over the levels of immigration prior to Brexit.
I mean, look at like immigration in 2010, height of the BNP.
That's what I mean. All the wind up to Brexit, all the conversation about how it was going too far then, and now the hardest stance that we're getting on this that's being pushed forward by the government is that those are the numbers that we should be seeking.
Again, 250,000 more arrivals, even at the reduced level, than when the BNP was screaming about the fact that we've had the highest immigration ever, which is true. We had it then, we have it now. It only ever goes up.
Yep.
And there's peaks and there's troughs and there's small rebates. But again, this is about codifying a new floor. This isn't about... Immigration isn't about the ceiling.
It's about the floor.
It's about the floor. And well, here we have as well what I would consider the... I'll put them on later, but... the failures and the very observable failures of the online right and the right in general during this period, because here's, I think, where our biggest kick comes. Pretty much everyone during the summer of Southport thought Starmer was making Britain a quote-unquote woke North Korea.
It's over.
It's over.
Starmer's got no more than a week left.
They're happening. The people are waking up. And people did. People were like, how will Starmer recover from this? Like, people were incensed at us.
And he's done it.
He's done it. I mean, I don't want to go around naming. I don't want to actually just go around. You know who you, if you're watching, and you will be watching this, because I know you steal our stuff. So you know who you are out there who did this. You know who you are who ran around going, it's happening. Where's based? Where's your based Blair now? Shut up. I just, like, absolutely vindicated. I'm sorry, I'm going to be smug and awful about this. We were right, and you were wrong. And that's the, I know that that's why we annoy people, because we are right, demonstrably, and other people run around going, it's happening, the British people are rising up! And it's just...
And nothing happens.
And then nothing, well, it's not that nothing happens, it's that... What happens is the legs get cut off them. They aren't mentally prepared. They will swear blind to you that what has happened couldn't happen.
Mm.
We told people and they scoffed at us. We have documented evidence of them scoffing at us. And yet, here we are with Enoch Powell, Keir Starmer, and everyone who's just pretending that the last year didn't exist out of embarrassment.
And to go back to one of our streams from quite a few months ago now, you don't have to be a popular leader in a democracy.
No.
Anyone that tries to tell you that X, Y, or Z or democratic leader is going to go out because he's not popular, go look at Macron.
Yeah.
Go look at what we said about Macron in our last stream and square that circle. Because evidently what appears to happen is that nothing happens because you can be an unpopular leader and do as you please.
Well, remigration, just like Stop the Boats, has effectively been subsumed by the party in power. Everyone who ran around saying remigration,
It's inevitable.
Send them back. All you have done is had your political lunch eaten by Keir Starmer because you didn't think that Keir Starmer could stand up and say send them back, and then he did.
But this is the thing, and maybe I can go on my own little righteous rant here. From is Sam Francis write this? Did you come back from the grave? Fucking hell. But I spent quite a considerable amount of my time running around saying that if all you've got is fancy words about this remigration stuff, be careful with it. Because what you're going to do is you're going to sow the seeds for large amounts of political capital. I mean, some amount of consent manufacturing will be done off the back of this shift they've pulled here.
Yes.
And I told people, don't run around with this stuff willy-nilly without a plan for how you're going to utilise the political energy you're stirring up.
Yeah.
And if you've not got a way to utilise that energy, maybe you should dial what you're doing back a little bit. Because otherwise, somebody like Keir Starmer comes along and, as you said, absolutely eats your fucking lunch.
Well,
not a crumb is left. And what do you have now? If you're one of these people that has retooled yourself into talking about deportations and demographics and whatever else, it doesn't matter because Keir Starmer's got the policy and there's half a dozen writers for the Critic or the Telegraph that'll talk about demographics anyway. So unless you're willing to do what we do and be right at the cutting edge and say things that are unacceptable, or you have a grander strategy for how you're going to capitalise on this stuff, you have wasted your time. All you've done is made yourself some pennies on the internet shouting about migrants.
If you jump up and down and say, immigration's a problem, immigration's a problem, immigration's a problem, immigration's a problem.
Don't be surprised when someone else comes over, slaps you in the face and fixes it.
No, you say, well, and Labour says, yes, immigration's a problem, and digital ID is the solution.
Yeah.
This nowhere party without a single councillor says they're going to send them back, do they?
I mean, we'll use them as an example for a further link in a moment before we get onto some of the Nudge Streams, Studge Unit stuff you've got there. But there was that tweet from Steve Laws the other day, and there's a clip of AA and Carl talking about, oh, well, as long as anyone does... That's a different one for later, but yes.
Yes.
As long as anyone does this, then we're all fine. And Carl had said something about, well, you know, this is like Steve Law's position that Starmer's taken. Well, yeah, it is. And in one fell swoop, Mr. Laws and all these people with his hardcore rhetoric have been neutered. Your issue has been completely and utterly politically neutralised in a moment because the regime Regime.regime, Starmer as this sort of robot that represents nothing but raw managerialism, has stood up and gone, we're doing this now, by the way. Not a case of we're thinking, we're doing this.
Yeah, it's just like, we're doing this. It's just been put forward that we are doing this.
And I think, and this is something that hopefully I might get the opportunity to write about in fuller, sort of later on this year, is that this comes down to something that we have always talked about. The managerial elite have no ideological attachment to liberalism and democracy. Not at the cutting edge. Not where the rubber meets the road.
There he is with the blade. He's got the blades out.
Yeah, we do have some tone. Tony Blair looms ever large over these events, and it was clear he wanted woke dropping and mass immigration rhetoric curtailed in exchange for digital ID. Nudge unit, something we've talked about time and again,
yes,
an important aspect of this, has demonstrated since at least COVID that they are wanting to strip away the language, the morals, the essence of liberalism that is left, that exists in the rhetoric of government and in the way that it does things, the indifference. It's got rid of that because it's too busy focusing on the raw managerial and the raw psychological aspect of making things happen.
People were very confused about what the legacy of the lockdowns was. The legacy of the lockdowns is behavioural economics.
Yes.
It is the employment of naked, open social engineering to force people to come to the correct solutions.
I'll see if I can get it in the right order, because it is that fantastic one with Richard Thaler on it, where he talks about upstream interventions that alter people's choice environments,
yes,
so that they can have outcomes that better suit the state out of free liberal individuals' actions.
Yes.
And basically what they're admitting is the fact that agency be damned, we are going to change the parameters of how you do certain things in your society because we have to get this outcome out of you.
Well, the point is as well that we have, even at the mid-level, earnest belief in the right of people to make their own choices is being thrown out the window. They're doing away with a lot of the window dressing of this in favour of pure management. And we understand that Keir Starmer can simply turn around after arresting people for saying send them back and himself say send them back without missing a beat because electoral politics aren't real.
Yeah.
They are the masters of the framing. They can frame reality however they want. And they can't alter reality. Not in the way that we think.
I will go one step further.
Yeah.
I will go as far as suggesting that I believe on some level the organisations that have spent a considerable amount of time and some of the individuals around them on Stop the Boats, on remigration, have been allowed to do what they are doing because at the end of the day, you've built up all this chatter, all this buzz, all this noise around this stuff. You've kept it in people's heads. Thousands, tens of thousands of people's heads have had this idea in it for ages because of the effort those groups have put in. And I think they've let you do that.
Yeah.
They've let your choice environment influence the way that you've approached these policies and how the rest of the populace will follow on behind people who, they were not ahead of the curve, but they were reading the early signals and they didn't know what they were looking at.
Well, also, this will work. This will work because most people cannot understand that mass perception of politics is purely about framing. Framing is real to people because it's all they encounter. People will accept a projected new normal of 300k a year and even accept the sacrifice of digital ID. Immigration is only a third of what it was under the Tories, thanks to the digital ID scheme, will be the headlines. Not that immigration will still be higher than at any time since before 2021. That is the trick pulled many times because it works. And again, if all you were doing was running around and saying that immigration is a problem and you don't have a better idea and in a better place to implement it than Labour are, then the people who are incrementalists, and all these people are incrementalists, by the way, this is why we're not incrementalists.
Yes.
Because if you're an incrementalist, Labour government can turn around, well, if you're an incrementalist, Homeland and Reform at this moment have no chance of making things better. We are the Labour government and we will make things slightly better for you.
Better in the actual and the now, the recency bias.
We will make things better for you now. And then that's how they win the incrementalist game. This is why we fundamentally disagree with any incrementalist ideas, because this happens. Because the people who empower turn around and go, we are in power, we are the only people who can realistically make these incremental changes. Unless you want revolutionary changes, which are unrealistic, in quotes, or you have to deal with us.
Yeah.
And this is, again, we've had people, what is it, we had someone describe us as having, what is it, bizarre right-wing fantasies, and people kind of cower and become very disturbed when we describe ourselves as right-wing revolutionaries. But that's that. Otherwise, you are this.
You're like, just Keir Starmer.
You're just Keir Starmer. You're either Keir Starmer or you want to fundamentally change the system we are under, which any change that alters this paradigm would be revolutionary.
I'm sorry, but where on the Keir Starmer to MAGA spectrum do you exist?
Yeah.
Because that's the whole political spectrum at the moment. That's what exists.
It's just like, oh, and by the end of this, they'll go, oh, well, some of the MAGA cope will be exactly the same as the Keir Starmer cope, which is, well, some of them did go back. Yes, some of them will go back.
And it's you...
To put the final kind of nail in this, even if we shut the borders, even if Keir Starmer comes out and says, not one more, imagine the cheering, not a centimetre further, the amount of people who are coming to Britain next year will be zero. We will still have 40% of live births where one parent was born outside the UK because the amount of people have already come in.
Yeah.
The demographics time bomb has already been set. These people are already here. And the lag for the population change is probably about 25 years.
Well, I think it'd be worth stating, seeing as I think immigration is something that we talked about a lot more in the past than we has as of late, because really we've just been waiting for this to happen.
Yes, really.
Again, we are not people who are going to sit here and bemoan the demographics and pure numbers other than as a demonstrative thing, because we have always advocated the fact that if you are a racially conscious native Briton, you are already in the minority.
Yes.
And you should see yourself as such. You should strategize for that, not for pressuring the government into putting a new policy. And it begs the question, those people who put all that effort in, where do they go now? Do they just join the Labour Party? And I noticed a certain Mr. Laws made a joke about that on Twitter.
Yeah.
Now, is he joking? Is he being serious?
That is the sentiment change, though.
Yeah.
The sentiment is, oh, well, Keir might do it. So maybe the thing is, people who are quote-unquote soft immigration sceptics, the reform voter types, this is what causes those people to go home. But they are just not focusing on this,
which is
the fact that 40% of live births have a non-British, no, not even a non-British parent, a parent that was not born outside the UK. Forget ethnicity.
I mean, how... I find it almost too funny that we have these local elections where there's this sort of, oh, look, reform's putting us under loads of pressure. Oh, no, we've got to do something. We've got to do something to bring all the people back in. The entire demographic, or the considerable majority of it, that would have otherwise voted for reform in 2029 doesn't have to now, because they can just vote for Starmer.
This was already... Well, I'd like to... the chronology-wise... The reason we were able to predict this in 2022, when reform was but a glimmer in Nigel Farage's eye, he was over in the US again, he was out of politics, we predicted this before, long before reform, because it was in the pipeline long before reform. This was happening no matter what else happened, because in a very real way, these things run on a script. We read ahead in the script. This was telegraphed because the ship of state turns slowly.
All right, I'll put it this way. Are they going to Enoch Powell, Rishi Sunak, or Kemi Badenoch, or Nadim whoever is now the face of the Tory party, for as long as they need to be the smelly-heeled character to Starmer's strong face?
You cannot overestimate how much impact it has that Keir Starmer is white. He knows it. Labour knows it.
What?
Everyone who lives in political reality knows that in-group preference within the British population still exists. He is the great white hope, and he has utterly defeated anybody who buys into electoral politics in any way. That includes Homeland. If you're in Homeland, well done. All you've done is bolster Keir Starmer and run around the edges and fail to gain a councillor.
I would actually say, in some respect, I think the wisest move you can make is if you're part of Homeland or some other group like this, and you haven't yet tarnished your public reputation by being associated with something that people don't like, go join to be part of your local labour association. Why not? Honestly, why not? The only problem with that is, though, is that's the way they could argue that this would be disrupted in amongst Labour's, you know, working government, is that hard right infiltrators are trying to take advantage of it, so we've got to be more careful and whatever else.
There is no gameplay here.
The idea that
you can affect this, the idea that you can play the electoral game in any way that benefits you is a lie. Just don't. Have you considered building something of permanence that is outside of this stupid game?
Well, there's that one too.
Have you considered the fact that really, in the political realm, in totalising managerial politics, if you're engaging in the process, you've already lost? That is the thing that we try and instill in people, that look, if you are trying to earnestly engage in politics, you have already lost, because the things are decided many years in advance. The political trajectory is set, and you are simply trying to improvise over a set amount of political background music. What you are doing is trying to dance to a different beat. It's like being in a club and there's something on, you're trying to dance to a different song.
Yeah, you're trying to guess the tune that the DJ's mixing whilst he's already got it set up in his head. It's like it's already there. It's already set into pace and rhythm. It's going to happen. You just dance along, pal.
The idea, am I trying to instill in people, the idea that you have influence over political events is an illusion. Unless you are directly involved in governing Britain and you wield power, you do not affect the politics of this country. No matter what you post on the internet, no matter what you put in the ballot box, no matter what you contribute to the comment section, no matter what you think, you say, or you do, you have no effect. What can you do? You're black pill. Why tell people they can do? Well, it's the truth.
Because if you don't,
you can do nothing about this.
No, I would go one further. I would say, as a matter of fact, I find it deeply offensive when someone, let's be honest, their job is a fancier version of what we do, which is sit in front of a computer and tell you what they think about the world, turned around and sort of advocates to their audience that you can't give up because you've got to be part of the change.
And yeah,
you're being asked to be part of a colour revolution that you've got no say in and isn't going to go anywhere anyway. I think that's honestly one of the most insulting and evil things people could run around doing.
The ultimate
is putting the moral blame for the politics that happen in a nation upon the populace.
Again, we do not buy into the populist delusion. We do not believe the mass is in charge. And if the mass is not in charge, well, the mass is largely blameless. The mass will do what the mass does. We ended our last stream on this note, but I'm going to try and drive it into people that you are not responsible for what is going on in this country. And if you are, maybe you should do something about it, eh?
And I think if you are someone who is responsible, you would already know this.
Yes. It is a trick, an illusion. It is a protagonist syndrome. You do not affect the political trajectory of Britain. And thinking you do is magical thinking. I cannot strictly expunge from your mind the idea that you have any impact on this, because you don't.
Do yourself the benefit. Genuinely, do yourself the benefit and realise that you actually don't have to care about what they do. Because in the grand scheme of things, you are there to influence your life.
Yes. we seem to end our streams now by the invocation of affect what you can affect. Go out into your own town, be good to your own family, be good to your own friends. Do not subsume yourself in these national level debates that are Fugazis. You can't actually do anything about Keir Starmer, least of all vote.
Yeah.
He defeated the right because they are playing a game that already has a set conclusion.
A game that finished years ago.
They are improvising along to a scripted TV show.
Mm.
And it really is like a child who thinks that they can control what's on the television. You can't. These events are happening to you. You are subjected to power because power acts top down. Keep calm. Remember your training. Power actuates from the top. Therefore, blame is situated at the top. But so many people can't mentally shape rotate that. They can't do the political maths to realise that you can't shout at the mass for not rising up because they are not in power because of elite theory. And it shows that most people, within their own internal moulds of how the world works, cannot apply elite theory intuitively. They cannot do the extrapolation outwards, and they cannot work out that the population of Britain is a passenger to power, because that's how organisation and the division of labour works. I don't think we have much else to add to that, really.
No. I will add one thing. If you're listening to this stream and you're really annoyed by the fact that we are saying Starmer has eaten your lunch, come and message me. Actually, just like message me on Twitter and I will tell you what's happened. And if you want to tell me that I'm wrong till you're blue in the face, you can go and do that. Because I want to see how people will justify and move out of this anyway elsewhere. I just find it almost amusing at this point.
It's really basic. But it always comes back to this point, which is the way people think about politics is backwards. Starmer defeated the right because the right engages in magical thinking.
Yep.
Your enemies are in charge and they will punish you. It's bleak, but it's true. How much more reality can we describe? I think we've described all the reality that we can stomach for today. So all that's left me to say is thank you to everyone who supports us. Thank you to everyone who's been with us. I'm sorry there's been a big gap between streams. We've just had so much real life stuff to do. And frankly, the political environment's been awful.
We are also working on bits and bobs. So
yes, please do help us out because we are. There is things being worked on. Oh boy, are there. You may hear about it someday. But as it stands, I don't know. Don't get captured out there.
Don't forget your training and go to the pub.
Yes, go to the pub. We'll speak to you guys again. Bye.